Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Down and Dirty with me, Idaho Bo, and
me, Vivacious Vic.
Today we're going to start talking about plant medicine, herbalism, Bach flowers, and how they can assist you in your life, in your everyday life, in your healing practices, and actually as remedies and preventatives. We've each picked three different herbs. I've chosen plantain, dandelion, and red clover. And what did you pick, Vicki?
I picked chicory, yarrow, and lemon balm.
Why did we choose these kind of off the wall ones?
Well, for me, I interact with them. I planted chicory for the first time this year because I absolutely love the plant, and now that I'm eating the chicory leaves, I love that. Yarrow, I have an infestation of yarrow all over. And I've used yarrow off and on for years, mostly as a tea. Lemon balm, I use every season as an additive to just my drinking water. I kind of ruffle some leaves and put them in my bottle of water. And this is such a beautiful flavor. And the smell of it is, they're just three of my favorites out of many.
People probably say, why did you pick dandelion? There's a number of reasons. Years ago, I read a book by Robert Fulghum called Everything I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. He wrote many books, and I'm not sure which one it is from, but he told a story of how his front yard was covered in dandelions. And every time he opened his front door to go anywhere, he just got a big smile on his face because they made him so happy. And the story proceeds to where one day he came home and he caught his next door neighbor spraying his yard for him. And he thought he was doing a favor. And he was, oh, anyway, dandelions I use them in many ways. I use them as a tea, like you do. I also make healing balms for your skin with them. They're the whole plant. You can use the whole plant in healing and preventative medicine. Plantain, a lot of people probably don't know what that is, but it grows everywhere. It's also good for your skin, for rashes, for bug bites. And red clover is also one of those herbs, and we're calling them herbs because plant medicine is herbs that you can use almost all the parts of it. They work well with your body. I thought that most of those were only found in the Northern Hemisphere, but upon further research, they're actually located in a lot of different places in the world, Asia, South America, and Africa. So, yeah. But before we dig into herbs, we're going to do a little bit of an introduction on why did natural medicines, which were used for centuries, fade from mainstream Western practices? And what we found in our research, both Vic and I, and actually have known for years, it's a mix of business, air quote, science, and power that shifted healthcare from plants to pills. So how did this happen? When did it occur? How did it occur? And again, in our research, we found that it has a lot to do with power and money. In the early 1900s, John Rockefeller, who was the number one oil conglomerate in the United States anyway, and the richest man, saw an opportunity to use his petrochemicals, which is what's left over after oil is refined, to start making pharmaceuticals. And he started the American Medical Association and also medical colleges. He and Carnegie funded a lot of those. So it's ironic to us that herbalism, Chinese medicine, homeopathy, Bach flowers, et cetera, that were once standard, not only in this country, but of course in Europe and Russia and all over the world, are now considered alternative medicines, or they're even stigmatized.
So we're going to go a little further on the modern impacts and the resurgence. We're living the modern impacts of the pharmaceutical industry and how far they have taken it to denigrate natural healing modalities. And so I think a lot of us are experiencing a resurgence of natural remedies because, first of all, our country is one of the sickest on the planet as far as chronic disease and obesity and all these different things that we know we're experiencing. But also, people are getting sick of being sick. And with the rising of consciousness, I always want to intersperse that consciousness dictates everything in our lives. What we pay attention to is what we're conscious of. And many of us are really trying to shift away from empowering those in power to becoming self-sovereign, to claim our own power. And the old saying is, health is wealth. And we're living that, either personally, with family members, as a society. So it's so important for us to take back and hold the reins to our own health. So there's a resurgence in natural medicine, even though it's often seen as unscientific and or risky. They always now have warnings that always, go to your physician before you start any of these herbs or any of these things. Okay, like your physician knows.
I find it that very ironic and actually quite hilarious, because if anybody has ever seen an info commercial about a drug, at the end there is a litany of things it's going to do to you. So, oh, but now you have to take another pill to counteract that, and another one for that, and that. Anyway.
There's definitely a growing interest in the holistic health. People are seeking natural options with fewer side effects. In the case of herbalism, we have pioneers such as Juliette de Berkeley, and we have Rosemary Gladstar and Susan Weed, who are pioneers in the resurgence of natural remedies. I studied the Bach flower remedies and got a certification in being an actual therapist in Bach flower remedy healing. And I'll talk a little bit about that when I go into the different herbs that I picked. But for instance, in our childhood with our parents and everything, we were prescribed aspirin if We had a boo-boo, a headache, you know, and a lot of people took a baby aspirin every day to keep their blood thinner. And it's aspirin is naturally derived from willow bark. But now nobody wants to take aspirin. I mean, they don't suggest it. They use ibuprofen, they use acetaminophen as the anti-inflammatories and all this. So, you know, they're just steering us away from the natural remedies that have been around forever. So, we're going to explore herbs and holistic practices with an open mind, right? And yeah, when using natural remedies, a lot of them have chemical reactions that can be toxic. So you definitely want to do your research before you dive into using them. There's a plethora of information, both in books, online, to find out, you know, some of the healing benefits of, and way beyond what Bo and I are going to be able to talk about today. But we just choose three of our favorites that we use daily, or really, they're available almost to everyone around the world. Not all regions, but almost everywhere you can find these, either in undeveloped patches of land, on long creeks, you know, in the forest, and whatever. So let's get started.
I wanted to say one thing before we dive into our individual herbs is one of the things, and I've known this for quite a while, but also in research reminded me that you cannot patent anything natural. So you can't patent an herb and make money off of it. That's one of the reasons I personally feel that humanity in general, because it's not just in the United States, it's in Europe, it's in for sure in developed countries, they've stepped away from plant medicine because you can't patent it and make money off of it. Now you can use it in a remedy and probably make money off it, but not the plant itself. And there was something else, but I didn't write it down, so I forgot. So do you want to start with your herbs, Vic?
Well, I was thinking maybe we just switch back and forth. I'll do
Okay.
one, you do one, so that
Okay,
one
that
of us
sounds cool.
isn't dominated. The first one that I have right before me is yarrow, and yarrow grows almost everywhere. And I have a lot of yarrow in my yard, some intentional and some non-intentional. And once it gets started, you don't really get rid of it because it's really prolific. It's such a strong, sturdy herb wherever it grows. Doesn't need a lot of water. I found this interesting. I'm referring to a book that I've had forever. One small leaf of yarrow will speed decomposition of a wheelbarrow full of raw compost. I did not know that. And so I find that fascinating by itself. Long considered sacred by many, many indigenous peoples, yarrow stems were used by the Druids to divine seasonal weather in Europe. And in China, the yarrow stems were actually before the coins for I Ching, the yarrow stems were cut to do the I Ching. And I actually have studied the I Ching for a while. And I have the yarrow plant that they come from, the big, tall, yellow yarrow, not the little white and pink ones. So I have my own Chinese yarrow sticks for doing my I Ching. And
Did you make them yourself?
I made them myself. I cut
That's
them.
cool.
I cut them and I have them right up on my bookcase, wrapped in my little fabric. So yarrow tea is wonderful for let's see where I have my notes. Tea, it helps to with digestive problems. It's an anti-inflammatory. It tea the leaves are really good. You could put some leaves in your smoothie if you do a smoothie every day. It regulates, it help can help to regulate menstrual flow. It can induce perspiration, which would help cleanse the system to get rid of colds and infections. It's also used as a poultice for wounds, rashes, chapped skin. It's used as a mouthwash for inflamed gums. So the leaves, the flowers, the stems are all part of a plant that can be used. So I find that a very helpful herb. And they're also really beautiful. And they bloom pretty much all summer, right up until frost. Let them go to seed, and you've got a whole patch full of yarrow. So I'll leave it on there. And
The Celts called it the wise woman's herb, and a lot of they call them kitchen witches. The Mexicans call them curanderas. Anyway, they if you saw somebody with yarrow in their yard, you knew that they were an herbalist and that they were healers. So basically used by a lot of healers. Yeah, and my sister's up in Alaska, and she said, "Should I pick some yarrow?" And I said, "Well, it's all over down here too, because I'm teaching her little by little about some of the different herbs." All righty, I'll get into my first. It's called plantain, and we're not talking about platanos or plantain that you buy that looks like a banana. This is totally different. Plantago major or Plantago lanceolata are the botanical names for them. And they're either lanced shape or broad leaf shaped. And they grow really close to the ground, dark green. They actually hug the ground. And they have parallel veins and a very tough and stringy texture. The flower spikes shoot up from the middle of that rosette. In the summer, and they look like little green fairy wands. I always liked them when I was a kid. They grow everywhere. They grow in lawns, sidewalk, fields. It's the weed you step on daily and you don't even know it. But again, a weed is an herb. It's plant medicine. And here's a fun fact: the Native Americans called plantain the white man's footprint because it followed the settlers. It's a first aid kit in leaf form. It's anti-inflammatory, antimicrobial, and soothing. Fresh leaves chewed or crushed can make a poultice for bug bites, stings, cuts, or burns. It's nature's band-aid, and I've even used it without even making a poultice. If I've gotten a cut when I'm out hiking, if you could find it, you could just actually put it on and on your cut and hold it there without making a poultice. But it actually doesn't taste bad. Like, I know yarrow is a little bit bitter, it's astringent, but plantain isn't. You can also make a tea from the dried leaves, which eases sore throat, coughs, or digestive issues. And it can be used as eye drops for tired eyes and too much blue screen time, y'all. So can make eye drops with it. Science backs this up, believe it or not, and it shows one of the natural chemicals, a cubin, I think I'm saying that right, fights inflammation. And again, we use caution. It says, what I found says, consult a doctor for serious conditions and don't overdo external use without guidance. Well, ask me about doctors. I really don't go to doctors. I've kind of been my own doctor for many, many years. It's been used by the Romans, the Chinese, medieval herbalists prescribe plantain for everything from snake bites to melancholy. It's free medicine, people. Unlike big pharma's pricey salves trying nature to natural remedies, which got sidelined by the MA, excuse me, AMA, the American Medical Association. Harvest young leaves in the spring or early summer for tenderness. Avoid polluted areas. And I wanted to make this point too. Whenever you're foraging herbs for yourself, any plant material, you want to be anywhere from 30 to 50 feet away from the road for carbon monoxide purposes. If you live in the north, like Vicky and I do, they salt or put chemicals down for the snow, and that all splashes up into the roadside. So be safe and, keep that little that area between you all. Plantains so common. I feel like it's Nietzsche saying, "Yo, Bo, heal thyself." On that, I'll hand it over to you, Vic.
Love it. I love it. My next favorite plant is chicory, and it's blooming. It's all along our green belt that goes along the river. It's in fields, it's in nooks and crannies. It's in my backyard because this is the first year that I've actually cultivated it myself. And right now mine is still in leaf form, so the leaves I'm eating as salad greens. The leaves look almost identical to pretty large dandelion leaves. And chicory is ancient, and it grows all over in many, many, many countries, many climates. So there's several things that I find really interesting. First of all, it's blue. The flowers are this beautiful, light cornflower blue. Which to me, all blue flowers are like one of my favorites. I think the energy of colors in flowers is also an important aspect. It's like pay attention to what you're drawn to and what you would like to see planted in your yard, because to me, that is part of identifying the medicine that is good for you too, right? I appreciate all flowers, but there are certain ones that I absolutely gravitate to. So I do pay attention to that. This is an interesting fact that probably isn't that useful, but a little science experiment for your kids or you. These blue flowers can be changed to bright red by the acid of ants. Place a flower in an ant hill and watch the color change.
That's
So,
for all you homeschoolers out there.
I mean, why not, right? Who'd have thought? This is another thing, and this is something that I've wanted to do for a long time, and I have not done it, but I've wanted to create a floral clock where the different segments of a clock, like from 12 to 2 or 3 or whatever, you plant plants that actually bloom during that time of day and then close. I never knew this about chicory until I was reading about this. Chicory is often grown in floral clocks for the regular opening of its flowers and their closing 5 hours later. These opening times relate to latitude, but the leaves always align with north. Gardeners interested
Strange.
in Gardeners interested in metaphysics credit this plant with life-giving forces. Well, I think most plants have life-giving forces, except those that are poisonous and kill you instantly. But on a side note, chicory is a digestive, really good for liver and kidneys, and so you can go to any herb store or any like Whole Foods and natural grocers and these different stores that have tea, and chicory is one of the teas that is on the shelf for these kinds of issues. It's a general tonic. It works on so many levels. It's good for jaundice and spleen problems. A poultice soothes inflammation. Infuse dried roots to make a tonic. Mild laxative and diuretic. It's also a substitute now for coffee. It's got a deep, rich, aromatic flavor when it's brewed. That would be the roots. Well, I think the leaves too. It's grown for fodder and in nutritious pasture mixtures, so it's good for animals to use as a coffee substitute. Dig up thick, cultivated roots, wash, slice, dry in gentle heat, roast, and grind. So that's kind of fun to think about. You could have your morning cup of joe and it'd be chicory and you get all of these benefits from it. So there's also this part of the chicory plant, which I haven't seen in mine yet. They're called chicons, Chicon. These are blanched heads produced by forcing roots in warmth and darkness. They are also known as Belgian endive.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Endive is from Belgian. Endive is from chicory.
This is what I'm reading.
Wow, who knew?
Isn't that fun? That's a fun one.
Yeah.
So, if you live in North America, you could go probably anywhere at the right time of the season. And right now it's July, mid-July. They started blooming on the green belt in late June. And they're so beautiful. They are so beautiful. So that's my spiel on chicory.
That is, these plants are so useful for so many different things. And again, you don't have to go to the health food store to buy chicory even chicory coffee, which if anybody's ever looked at the price tag, you're going to go, whoa.
Yeah.
And it's not hard to do. And people, there's so many recipes on the internet right now, or go to the library, even better, in my opinion, and check out some books.
Another additive that's very popular in the, I think they call it bullet coffee alternatives, is dandelion. Also goes
Yes,
in that.
yes. My friends
So,
Jonah and Margaret use dandelion coffee. They
yes.
segued off, which there is also, I can't remember the grain in most of those coffees, but it's got gluten and I can't drink it because it's gluten, but they love it. Yep. Sorry, then. My turn.
Yes,
All
I'm
right. So I'm gonna go next with dandelion. Taraxacum officinale. Sounds so official, right? Dandelion has got a very haughty name for such a quote lowly pest. A lot of people consider it to be a weed. Again, I think it's the sunny rebel of a lawn. It's so beautiful and happy. It's the first flower that blooms in the spring, in the wilds of your lawn. And if you've ever noticed, the bees go there and it's the first flower that offers them pollen. So if you do decide to forage this wonderful flower, make sure you leave enough for the bees. Again, you should do this whenever you're foraging. Don't take any more than a fifth to a third of the plant. There's usually where I live, there's dandelions everywhere. Also, you want to make sure they're not in a lawn that is sprayed with chemicals and away from the roadside. When I was a kid, and I bet you almost everybody listening would get the seed head when it goes to seed, and it's a white puff ball, and take it and make wishes and blow them away. Well, you're just helping to spread the plant, and it's quite happy that you're doing that. And so it's got a really deep taproot, which makes it a home gardener's frenemy. And I'm saying frenemy because depending on where it is, if you don't want a plant in a garden, no matter what it is, it's considered a weed, right? But yeah, it's found in yards, fields, cracks in the pavement. It thrives in the sun or partial shade. Some of the medicinal uses, it's a detox dynamo. You can use the roots, leaves, flowers, they're all medicinal. You can eat the leaves in the spring, again, when the flowers first appear. The leaves are very small and tender, and they're fantastic in a salad. They have iron, the flowers have vitamin C. Again, just like the chicory, the roots make a coffee substitute, and it has the same antioxidants, chicoric, which I bet you anything is in chicory because it sounds just like the name. You can make a tea or tincture from the leaf, and it supports liver and kidney functions. They act as a diuretic. Bye-bye, bloat.
There you go.
Flowers are used in salves, which that's the first salve I ever made was dandelion salve. I used to have a plot in a community garden, and they were everywhere. So I got all these free organic dandelions, and I thought I'm going to put them to use. The salves soothes skin or muscle pain, and it's traditionally used for jaundice and gallstones. If you are allergic to ragweed, you shouldn't use it. Again, it's a very, very old herb. The ancient Egyptian brewed dandelion tonics. Native Americans used it for stomach issues. Victorian apothecaries sold dandelion root as a liver tonic, which was fancy for at that time. It's ignored by modern medicine. Again, you can't patent an herb, but herbalists keep the flame alive, proving its worth. And there was a, I heard a very wise old Scotsman say that dandelion is like the four elements. It's like earth because they live deep with their roots into the earth and they improve the soil. It's like water because they bring water up from deep in the soil to the surface. Fire, they look like the sun and store energy from the sun. And Vicky and I have talked about eating vegetables that have the sun. Dandelions do too. Again, you can use them in your salads. And air, the wind carries their seeds to new areas, assisting them to spread. I thought that was pretty cool. So again, for the foraging, pick young, tender leaves in spring for less bitterness. They're good for your salads, or you can saute them like spinach as well. And there is a French dandelion that I've seen sold in health food stores, and they're great big leaves. I had a German girlfriend that used to prepare them by sauteing them with onions and garlic. So good. So good. You can dig the roots in the fall when they're most potent because they've stored up all that sunshine from the summer. Make sure you clean them very well because the taproot holds a lot of dirt. You can dry the leaves and roots for teas or coffee. We already said that. And the flowers make wine. Isn't there a song from the 60s about dandelion wine, Vicki?
I'm sure there is, but I can't remember. Because
So
maybe I was.
why can't you remember? We are not going there. Okay, here's Bo's quip on dandelions. Dandelions are nature's middle finger to the perfect lawn. Embrace the chaos, y'all.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Because,
All
man.
right.
It's the enemy of so many urban perfectionists about their lawns, right?
My brother-in-law.
Well, lots of people. I see the trucks come with, spraying
Yeah.
all the stuff. Are you ready
Yep.
for me to go to my next
I'm
urban?
ready. Throwing the ball back at you, girlfriend.
Okay, well, the last one that I chose was lemon balm. And lemon balm has such a rich, illustrious, and absolutely entertaining history that I'm going to read this little portion out of my herb book that I love. sacred to the temple of Diana and used medicinally by the Greeks some 2,000 years ago. Lemon balm was called Heart's Delight in Southern Europe and the Elixir of Life by the Swiss physician Paracelsus. He believed the herb can completely revive a person, and this view was endorsed by the London Dispensary in 1696. Balm given every morning will renew youth, strengthen the brain, and relieve languishing nature, which is depression or just lethargy. Linden balm was reputed to be among the regular morning teas imbibed in the 13th century by many. Let's see this. Its virtue of dispelling melancholy has been praised by herbal writers for centuries, and it is still used today in aromatherapy to counter depression. And I find this fascinating because this is something I think a lot of us will benefit from right now with the levels of depression and sadness and grief and just these different states of kind of low emotional feelings. Lemon balm can just lift you up. And so I kind of have a funny story about lemon balm because when I bought this house, I had bought it from my kids who had a total apothecary garden really close to my back door. Well, it was built up and just full of all these different herbs that I really did not want. So I tore it all out. Lemon balm. I tore it out. I pretty much tear some lemon balm out every year because it is so prolific. And I decided this year it started sprouting up. I weeded this area. It started sprouting this little tiny sprout. I knew exactly what it was. I decided I'm letting it grow. I want to use it. And I do use it where it grows naturally, but this is a new outcrop. So I would take leaves from it. I kind of rub them between my palms and then I put them in my drinking water. It is so delicious. It's so reviving. It's so aromatic. It has that lemony, beautiful, fresh scent to it. And dried lemon balm is another one of those you're going to find on the shelves of any natural grocers type store. Because of its medicinal uses. If you put a leaf directly onto an insect bite or sores, or apply in a poultice, it sucks the toxins out and soothes the skin. Infuse as a tea for relief from chronic bronchial catarrh, feverish colds, headaches, and to calm and uplift tension. So it has so many uses. I use basil leaves the same way. I crumple them up or between my hands, kind of roll them, and then I put it in my water. So you're infusing just your normal everyday drinking water, and I don't know anyone that leaves a house without a bottle of water, you know. So you are getting the medicinal benefits of these things in a such a refreshing and so easy way. The flowers are pollinators for those insects that we need to have in our garden. Let's see, they grow in mid shade, full sun to shade. I mean, mine grows everywhere, so I don't even have to pay attention to that. You can use them in poultry. You can make in fruit salads, in jellies, custards, fruit drinks, and wine cups for those that like some wine. Put some leaves in your wine and flavor it up, right? Infuse fresh leaves for Melissa tea or float in Indian tea. And isn't Melissa one of the great, great oils?
Essential oils, and
An
it's
essential
very
oil.
expensive. I was going to say that
Super,
it's Melissa
super.
officinale. Yes,
Yes.
very, very expensive. And you
Yes.
guys, it literally will take over a garden bed.
It will. It might
So
be good to grow in a pot
I
or in an
did.
enclosed area,
Not that I
but
have, not that I
it
have,
all,
I don't have much choice, but
yes.
keep going. Excuse me.
It says add to blended vinegars, right? So there's so many really beautiful, positive, aromatic uses for lemon balm. And I think I can leave it there. And then when we review some of these other things, then I want to carry on with some other thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah.
My last herb is red clover, and the botanical name is Trifolium pratensis. The reason we use botanical names too is because a lot of things have common names, and those are regional, so people don't know what you're talking about. If you go like from Idaho down to Alabama, they might not have any idea. So that's, yeah, I'm not trying to sound like a big shot or anything, but that's the reason that we use botanical names. Anyway, they're a pinkish purple pom-pom. They grow in meadows, they grow in roadsides. There are three leaflets, hence the trifolium, which means three leaves. And they're often, the leaves often have a white V on them. Like I said, they grow in fields, pastures, roadsides. They love sunny spots with decent soil, but it doesn't have to be great soil. They bloom in the late spring to summer. They attract bees like nobody's business. Again, all of these, even the plantain that doesn't really have a showy flower, they all attract pollinators. There is a lookalike alert. It's white clover, but really to me, they don't look alike. The white clover is definitely white and it grows very low to the ground, and the red clover is very tall. I started collecting red clover a number of years ago, and I have a formulation of comfrey, red clover, plantain, and another weed called knapweed, which I infuse in olive oil, and I use all three in a healing salve called Bose Boo Boo Be Better. Just
I
just a
love
little bit
that
on the
stuff.
side there.
I
Bose Boo Boo
love
Be
that
Better
stuff.
Balm.
Gosh, so good.
So red clover is the woman's health hero. It's packed with isoflavonoids, which are plant estrogens. Tea from dried flowers. I guess if you're a male, you might not want to use it as much. I don't know. Teas from dried flowers eases menopausal symptoms like hot flashes. I know a couple people that have asked me about that lately. So there you go, y'all. It soothes coughs, bronchitis, and it's traditionally used for skin issues like eczema. Its anti-cancer potential is because of the isoflavonoids, and they've been studied for breast and prostate health. Here's the caution, we always have to do this. If you're on blood thinners or pregnant, consult a doctor. Vicki and I were talking about blood thinners. Why do they put you on blood thinners if you can take things like red clover and, as she mentioned earlier, white willow bark, which are blood thinners if you need them? The
Which is
native
a modern day aspirin.
Exactly. Native Americans use red clover for sores and respiratory issues. Europeans for blood purification. 19th century herbalists hailed it as a tonic for women's health, predating hormone therapy. Sidelined by allopathic medicine, which is created by who? Rockefeller. We talked about that earlier. But its resurgence shows people crave natural options. Vicki was talking about that earlier. If you want to forage, harvest flowers in full bloom early summer for maximum potency. Snip with scissors. I just basically use my fingernails, because when I find something that I can use and it's not on somebody's property, I take full advantage. You want to dry the flowers for teas or tinctures. Fresh ones add color to salads. Avoid moldy or wilted blooms. and you want to dry them in a single layer for best results. Red clover is like nature's day spa, pretty pink and oh so soothing. I'll leave
Sweet.
that
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
one there.
So, thank you for that. So, I wanted to touch on something that's very dear to my heart and ties so closely into what we are going through with the demise of natural healing into allopathy and the American Medical Association, and always needing permission to do anything and being told what to do. And it's never about getting to the source of the problem. It's about masking the symptoms. That never gets to the root problem. And I wanted to refer to Dr. Bach, who developed the Bach flower remedies, which I did go through the training of that, got a certification, and I am qualified with the study of this to do healing therapy sessions with people. But his philosophy rings so true to my heart of where does the dis-ease that so many of us and so much of society is dealing with? And his philosophy, based on his profound study with plants and then later homeopathy, is disease is entirely the result of a conflict between our spiritual and mortal selves. Health and happiness result from being in harmony with our own nature and doing the work for which we are individually suited. So he developed this system from many, many flowers. Disease is the reaction to interference. This is temporary failure and unhappiness, and this occurs when we allow others to interfere with our purpose in life and implant in our minds doubt, fear, or indifference. So he divided 38 flower essences into seven groups. And this deals with our emotions, which is the mortal self not being in balance with our spiritual self. And the seven groups are fear, uncertainty, insufficient interest in present circumstances, loneliness, oversensitivity to influence, despondency or despair, and overcare or welfare for others. So, just as Dr. Bach identified the seven areas of conflict which interfere with our health, he also defined the stages in the healing of disease, which is peace, hope, joy, faith, certainty, wisdom, and love. And I have personally experienced these in my own journey of using these Bach flower remedies. And I think personally, because there's so much trauma in the world right now, unresolved trauma, that if one only resorted to one Bach flower remedy, it would be rescue remedy. Because it deals directly with trauma, either personal trauma, mental trauma, grief, sudden shocks. And I think so many of us are experiencing these kinds of things just because of the state of affairs that we live in daily. So I highly recommend this kind of approach to dealing with the emotional side. And the other thing about Dr. Bach's findings is, and well, not just Dr. Bach, but many, is the body is the last place that imbalance, unresolved imbalances between the spirit and our emotion. Our body is the last place that it shows up because it's like the big red flashing light. Which is, if you're not healthy and you're in pain or you've got disease or stuff brewing up in your body, the body is telling you something needs help, well, we go to a doctor, we get a pill, or we get a surgery. That doesn't cover the root cause. So
Exactly.
Bo and I are very interested in helping bring to the forefront remedies that are at our disposal. They're time tested for centuries. We don't have to discover something new here. We just need to remember that these things have been here forever.
That is so true. And when you were reading the list of maladies that the Bach flowers assist in remedying, it reminded me a lot of what society in general is going through. Like you said, we have, there's so much outer stress and it actually, one thing I'd like to say real quick, we have about 10 minutes left, by the way, is a lot of this has to do with programming and how mankind has been programmed over the centuries into what we see and what we're feeling today. And if we do the deep dive and start on the journey of healing ourselves, that is a step in self-sovereignty and freedom, which is the whole, actually, when you get down to the crux of it, that's the whole reason that Vicky and I are doing this show, is to assist people in finding ways where they can take their power back. And, I do know that anything outside of yourself is outside of yourself, that we are not our bodies, that we are divine fractals of creator source. Sometimes we need a little bit of help because we've been so effed with, we've been so fooped with over the millennia that we have forgotten. That's when Vicky said, this helps you remember. And most of you know that, well, that Q is my friend, and one of the things that he says is do what excites you. And for both Vicky and I, what
Yes.
excites us is being in touch with the natural world and gardening and preserving our food and going for walks in the woods and sitting at the river and sharing all of this with you is really a great deal of our purpose.
Yes.
So, yeah, that just came out. I wasn't planning on saying that, but it, we, even if we don't know you, we love you and we just want the best for you. And sometimes we might not be right, but I think most of the time we are. We've been around for a while.
Yeah, and we use our own experience, but when I was really new to the Bach remedies and the flower essences themselves, I'm very into the essential oils from flowers as well. I mean, my whole apothecary is full of essential oils, and I use them every day. I look at them and it just tells me exactly what to. I mean, I don't even have to think about it anymore. I look at them and one jumps off, So that's how in tune I would hope everyone can get, where you just step out of the way of your mind and you just kind of get your little spidey feelies out, let them direct you. And but I was making my own Bach remedies that aren't part of these things. I was making Morning Glory Bach remedies. I mean, I followed, he has a whole, there's a whole school of how it's actually done. I gathered all of the equipment. I did it. I made it. It's a fascinating study. This is plant medicine. And there's many different forms of plant medicine, teas, herbs, poultices, oils. All of this. So it's what makes me feel like I'm doing something for the planet and trying to keep myself healthy is by referring to these things.
It remind when you were talking about your essential oils and you don't even have to think about it, it reminded me of I read in one of Anastasia the Ringing Cedars books about how to eat the right way is just go out in your garden and what calls you, just like you're growing chicory now because it called to you, what calls to you is what you need in the moment. And being in the
That's right.
moment, being in the present moment is really what it's about. There's no past, it's a story. The future is just a dream. What we have is right here, right now.
Absolutely.
Oh, and I
That's
just wanted to say
yes.
one more thing. If anybody is interested in doing a deeper dive on what we kind of touched on with Rockefeller, et cetera, we'll put up an article on our page at bbsradio.com/down and dirty. If you're interested, it's just a jumping off point for you to do a deeper dive. But really, the deeper dive for us is the plants.
Well, I wasn't raised going to a doctor. My mom took me to a Chinese herbalist when I had horrible, horrible menstrual stuff when I was a kid. We couldn't figure out what it was. She and my grandmother, who I was very close to, was totally into naturopath, and she took me to naturopathic doctors. I delivered my first kid through naturopath. Those in my lifetime, as a young adult, those were all outlawed. They couldn't get licensed. So you can't get licensed. So then people don't want to go because they don't have this stamp of approval from the American Medical Association. They are resurging, they are coming back. And there are some naturopaths in Boise now that are licensed, to prescribe. And but anyway, we've seen this whole circular thing of having it all be denied to us, and now people want alternatives rather than going and getting drugs.
That's part of ascension, baby.
That's part of ascension, baby.
I think we should leave it at that. What do you think?
I think we're good.
All right.
You can also find our Facebook page, Down and Dirty with Bo and Vic. And we post all the links to these shows and our podcast, our articles on there too. So you can still find these things.
I just want to say thank you to BBS Radio, Don, Thomas, and Doug. We love you so much. Have a great week, folks. See you next time. You can
All
keep it.
right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.